We are in the chapter Exodus, and we're going to at least cover 31 and 32. 31 is real short, and 32 is a little bit longer. I went all the way up to 33, but I don't think we can reach 33.
Exodus 31. The Lord said to Moshe, "See, I have called my name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, in the tribe of Yehuda, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with the ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, to work in every craft. And behold, I have appointed him with Holiab, the son of Ahisamach, and of the tribe of Dan. And I have given to all able men ability that they may make all that I have commanded you, a tent of meeting, the Ark of the Testimony, the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furnishings of the tent, the table and its utensils, and the pure lampstand with all its utensils, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the basin and its stand, and the finely worked garments, the holy garments for Aharon the priest, and the garments of his sons for their service as priests, and the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense of the holy place. According to all that I have commanded you, they shall do." And the Lord said to Moshe, "You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, 'Above all, you shall keep my Shabbats, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Shabbat because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days work shall be done, but the seventh day is a Shabbat of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Shabbat day shall be put to death. Therefore the people of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing the Shabbat through all their generations, as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed.' And he gave to Moshe, then when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. When the people saw that Moshe delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aharon and said to him, 'Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moshe, the man who brought us up out of the land of Mitzrayim, we do not know what has become of him.' So Aharon said to them, 'Take off the rings of gold that are in your ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me.' So all the people took the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aharon. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with the graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Mitzrayim.' When Aharon saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aharon made a proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord.' And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moshe, 'Go down, for your people, whom you brought up from the land of Mitzrayim, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Mitzrayim." And the Lord said to Moshe, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation out of you." But Moshe implored the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out from the land of Mitzrayim with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Mitzrayim people say, 'With evil intent did he bring them out, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth?' Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster of your people. Remember, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I shall give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord relented of the disaster that he had spoken of bringing upon his people. Then Moshe turned and went down the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, tablets that were written on both sides. On the front and on the back they were written. The tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, engraved on the tablets. When Yehoshua heard the noise of the people, as they shouted, he said to Moshe, There is a noise of war in the camp. But he said, It is not the sound of shouting for victory, or the sound of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing that I hear. And as soon as he came near the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, Moshe's anger burned hot, and he threw the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf that they had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder and scattered it on the water and made the people of Israel drink it. And Moshe said to Aharon, What did this people do to you that you have brought such a great sin upon them? And Aharon said, Let not the anger of my Lord burn hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. And they said to me, Make us gods that who shall go before us. As for this Moshe, the man who brought us up out of the land of Mitzrayim, we do not know what has become of him. So I said, Let any who have gold take it off. And so they gave it to me, and I threw it in the fire, and out came this calf. And when Moshe saw the people had broken loose, for Aharon had let them break loose, to the derision of their enemies, then Moshe stood at the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered around him. And he said to them, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, Put your sword on your side, each of you, and go to and fro from the gates to gates throughout the camp, and each of you kill his brother and his companion and his neighbor. And the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moshe. That day 3,000 men of the people fell. And Moshe said, Today you have been ordained for the service of the Lord, each one at the cost of his son and of his brother, that he might bestow a blessing upon you this day. The next day Moshe said to the people, You have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up to the Lord, and perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. So Moshe returned to the Lord and said, Alas, this people has sinned a great sin. They have made for themselves gods of gold. But now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, please blot me out from your book that you have written. But the Lord said to Moshe, Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. But now go, lead the people to the place about which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in this day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. Then the Lord sent a plague on the people because they made a calf, the one that Aharon made.
Any thoughts?
I noticed when the people got in trouble, God said, Those people you brought out. God gave, he blamed Moses that they were his. So.
You might be able to. Next. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
It's really not that hard to understand. No. It really is not. Down here. Oh.
Yes, I noticed that they said gods and there was only one statue.
Right. We'll talk about that.
Why did he make them, after he ground it into gold, why did he make them drink it?
All right, we'll talk about that also.
My answer to that is he is God and he does what he wants. but anyway, I like to hear that there is a way and that if you don't walk in it, that your name is blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life, and that it's even in here about the book. I like to hear about the book. Acts. It's all the way through the whole Word of God, the book of life. Yeah. Anyway.
I hope I can answer that question.
I liked in 31 how that Elohim put knowledge into the men to create the things for his tent of appointment, and he, two men in particular, he blessed them, and gave them knowledge on how to create the things, how to make the priestly garments, how to carve the stones. That is really awesome.
Yes. Got a lot of questions here, don't we? Or thoughts?
Hi. I'd love to hear anything you have to say about the first set of tablets.
All right.
Since we just brought up that about the artistry that the man had, or the different workers had for fixing the temple and the way God wanted, the idea of purpose in our life, how can we know where we're going next, or the purpose that God's given each one of us in relation to this?
All right. Okay. That's a good question. That's a good question. Yeah. No other comments? Phew. I'll try to cover everything in the next 45 minutes at least. 45? No. Yes.
I like how, unlike verse 13, he says, "And now please, if I have found favor in your eyes, please show me your way and let me know you so that I find favor in your eyes." He's just totally in love with Yahweh. And he's asking for his presence. And if you don't go with me, I don't want to go. And I just think Moses is so precious, and Heavenly Father is precious back to him.
Okay, we will talk about that more in detail in the next chapter, because that's where he answers that request. I don't want to answer it today, but it's very deep in the next chapter. It's very fascinating, there's certain words he has said, and we will go back to that latter part of this chapter, chapter 32. Another question.
Interesting, in chapter 32 there, the verse 5, how Aaron built an altar and all that, but they created a feast. Now, this is not a Moedim, right? This is just a bunch of food type of feast, or is he actually
35?
Trying to... 32, verse 5.
Okay.
They created a feast unto the Lord. So, I mean, he's trying to create a whole another Moedim.
Oh, no. We'll go through that, too, what Aaron was saying. We'll have to kind of explain the importance of why that was very important. Yes.
What's the significance of a calf?
Okay, talk about that as well. All right, let's break down quickly chapter 31 real quick, because that's not where all the questions came from, but I think some minor things are kind of fascinating to go into it. But like I said, you know, this is on the, quote, 40th day. Keep that in mind. 40th day, or near the 40th day, I should say. We'll get more detail about the assignment that was given to Moses. Now, we see here that Moses didn't, quote, build the tabernacle. He didn't build any of the utensils. He didn't build any of these things. God already appointed certain men, and in chapter 36, when we'll go there, they're a whole lot more than just these two men. These two men responsible for the certain functions. So it's two basic functions going on here, right? Not just one, but two. Okay? The first one has to be about what? Has to be the work of understanding, knowledge, and all manner of workmanship of what? And it says here, it says, some of your translations have them, I think, a worker, a designer, or artistic person, a crafty person. In Hebrew, all that really means is someone who can calculate, make judgments, imagine, and can count. That's his job, to make sure things are done in the precise order that they should be done. And he'd be the overall designer. Others would make the things according to what God has sent to this man how and what they are to be like. Now, Moses had to go down and tell these two men. We'll find out later on the chapter. Tell them their assignment. Because they didn't know their assignment until Moses came and told them their assignment. Okay? They didn't automatically sit there and say, oh, I got to move. No. They had to come down and be told specifically what they were to do. And Moses was the one that given the details how everything was to be made. Remember that? How the menorah was to be made. How the ark was to be made. How the mercy seat was to be made. How all of these things were made in great detail, including, quote, how the angels were supposed to look sitting on that chair, on the mercy seat. So Moses was given tremendous amount. We'll later on in the next chapter find out how much he knew. But we won't go there in chapter 33 today because it's a bit long. So we have this man. This man, Bezalel, means, basically has two definitions. It's either in the shadow of Elohim or under the protection of Elohim, meaning it is Elohim, God, the creator of heaven and earth, who's doing this to him. He's going to protect this man and the men or people who are going to work for him, that no harm comes to them at all. Interesting terminology for man's name, right? His father's name is Uri, which means one who has fire or flame. So his father was, we call hot under the collar. No, he'd get things done, basically. And his grandfather was named whom? Hur. Who is Hur? You remember who he is? Hur. Here it's pronounced as H-U, so we call him Hur. I don't know how to pronounce that in English. It's a hard C-H sound here. And he was one of the men who did something during a war. Help Moses' arm. So the grandson of this man gets a great blessing. Because of what the grandfather did. The kind of blessing. See, the blessing can go down and down and down, right? Very fascinating to look at all these things. And the other man, Holiav, all that means, he's in his father's tent. That's all it means. He's in his father's tent. And his father is meaning brother of support. So he's in his father's tent, and his father is one who supports. It's a very interesting terminology as we kind of look at these things. One of them is from the tribe of Judah, and the other one's from the tribe of Dan. Two different functions, two different ideas. Now, the one for making all the gold and jewelry and all that kind of stuff, that was even for Aaron to wear and for all the things that God had in mind. But who was responsible for making sure other things were done? Yeah. What did he do? Man, he built a table, okay, and its utensils. He did a lampstand. He did the lampstand. But that's gold. Wait a minute. He did a lampstand and all its utensils. His altar of incense, which we talked about last week, he did all that. Remember, it all had to be covered with gold. So one man did the one part of the gold, and this man did both wood and gold. And that's these men were God had given and showed them, and also to protect them. So it's interesting to kind of know exactly who is who and what is going on. But two different functions. So let me ask you a question. What was the function of the first one? What was he supposed to do? How does that relate to what God wanted him to do? In God's dwelling place. Why did God want him to do this? Just to give him something to do? Specifically, okay. For the place where he called the dwelling place.
The appointment.
Yep. The meeting of appointments, you know, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about, remember the meeting of appointments? Or you have the meeting of, was it tabernacle of meetings? That in Hebrew is the tabernacle of Moed. And Moed means meeting place, the place where you meet. You meet where? At the tabernacle or at God's dwelling place. Because in the very first part we heard that you're going to build a dwelling place for me. So the first thing they had to do was build a dwelling place for God. Why do you want a dwelling place? Do you remember? So he can live with them. All right? And we'll see later on what God had to do later because of this incident which we're reading here in the chapter. And it's a parallel of something that has to do with Moses in relationship to God. But that's in the next chapter. So we have an overall idea of these men are to work, and they did, building of the things associated with, quote, the sacrifice, the holy offerings, the incense burning altar, all the utensils for them to all be made, either gold, brass, or silver, and that's what these men did. So it was, you know, we might look and say Moses did it all. No, he didn't. He was given the assignment to make sure it got done, but God already got two men, two primary men, to do the job that Moses was to tell them how to do it. Now, verse 13 here in this one, he says, by the way, he said something very important. Now, when you go down and tell these men, this is what I want you to do, and the men you're going to be working for, or the people you're going to be working for, these two men, there's one rule I have. What is the rule?
Shabbat.
Yeah, right. Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep. Don't build my dwelling place on the Shabbat. Yes, you're building it for me, building it for the Lord. I'm working for the Lord. No, don't work for the Lord. All right? Oh, that's interesting. So, why was it said? Because it's what? Holy to you. It's sanctified for you. Remember what Yeshua said? The Sabbath is made for man. Yes?
I like that it says, it'll be a sign between you and me. I love that.
Yes.
I love that.
When God created Adam and Eve, the next thing he created was Shabbat. For them, right? To dwell where he dwells. That's the whole message of the first chapter of Genesis, chapter 1. It's a commission, did we say? No, God doesn't have a commission. He just does what he does. Now, the next chapter is a little more complicated, isn't it? Chapter 32. Interesting word. I can read this in this particular translation. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed. Oh, my. Delayed. You know, that's not exactly what the Hebrew word says. It's the core of that verb. Basically means to be disappointed in, to be ashamed of. That's the core of that word in Hebrew. Now, I know it can be used all over different places, but the word delayed really is a very, very weak definition of this terminology. In this chapter, I don't know why they turned it to delayed. I guess to say that they were irritated with Moses taking so long, and we don't care what happened to him. He's gone. He's out of sight. Who cares about him anymore? Aaron, you're our boss. Yes.
Back when this was written in the Old English, that delayed had that same kind of context.
In 1611.
Yes.
But and today we don't have that concept. We think it means something else.
Right.
But it's a lot stronger word when you really take a look at it. And so this is, man, downright disappointed him. They didn't like him after all. I mean, after all, he was a man who had power, didn't he?
Are you talking about the people being disappointed and ashamed of Moses? Or
yes,
Moses.
Moses. He's addressing Moses there. Now remember, these people did not see quote, the acts of God. What did they see in the entire journey? They saw acts of Moses. They saw the acts of Aaron. That's why the Bible talks about the man. By the time Moses got them out of there, the Egyptians called him the man. Now that's, in our slang expression, we mean something different to our language today. But then it meant, that's the boss. Yes?
Are you saying that the people, in their lack of knowledge of God, attributed the miracles that God had done
to
Moses?
Yes, because what they saw. They didn't see God turning the snake, wood in a snake. They saw Moses better down and turning into a snake. They saw Moses pour water and turn into blood. They saw Aaron hit the sand. Up comes a bunch of insects or flies, whatever, we don't have no. And that's what they saw. They didn't see the actions of God at all. Even the men of Pharaoh's didn't see the actions of God. They saw the actions of Aaron's rod doing something. So that's the boss. Remember, there was a very religious, I'd say the word religious, I hate the word religious, but very religious people back then, and they'd worship anything that was unusual.
Weren't they superstitious?
Oh, we could call them superstitious. I don't really call them superstitious because God said, I will kill all of the Elohim of Egypt. Now, I didn't kill superstitions. Yes?
Well, I was just thinking they would have seen God do the killing of the firstborn, but not really, because Moses said it was going to happen.
Moses said it was going to happen. They didn't see the part of the water by God. They saw the rod of the water by Moses' rod. Crew, it all went up. You know, that's what they saw. And they saw it. Oh, Moses did the rod get down and killed everybody. That's what they saw. Now, we have such wonderful, wonderful hindsight. We look at this and say, how dumb can those people be? But we weren't there. For 400 years separated from Abraham, Isaac, separated from the sons of Abraham. After 400 years, how long has our country been in existence? Our country, right here, America. How close are we reunited to the founding fathers? Who? No, we're connected with the modern things today. Those founding fathers, they're dead, buried. Who cares what they thought? Who cares? But nobody cares about their opinion or what they did or why. How could they institute what's called a republic at all? That's dead history. We're no longer a republic. We're a democracy. Right? And so our whole thought has changed. And by the time you look at these guys, their whole thought was changed. But not all of them. Not all of them. Remember, we're already at this point. We've gone through where he was at the mountain. And all of a sudden, Moses was down the bottom, right, with them. And they saw the fire, the smoke, the thunder, and the sound, and the smoke. And it was black. It was Hosach time. It was real dark. And they heard a terrifying, frightening, so powerful. Have you ever been so afraid that you're so scared you can't move, you can't talk, you can't even think? You're so frightened of what's happening to you. You're just, what happened next? You stop thinking. You've got to hear everything going on. And that's how God... Tell you the truth, okay? This is my opinion. You're going to disagree with me. God is the greatest terrorist there is. He can terrify anybody. But he will do it for a blessing, even though it is a cursing. Sometimes God curses, I hate that word, but does harm to us in order for us to turn to Him. That's what happened to Israel. Do harm to them and they'll turn to me. We say, wait, that's not God. God doesn't do that. God never killed anybody. God was not responsible for the flood. Yes.
Can we rephrase that? Can we say that he, instead of cursing us, I don't like that, the sound of that, but he does
true.
Allow us to be tested?
Let me go one more step further. He told Abraham, those who curse you, I will curse you. Curse them.
Those
are powerful words from the Creator.
Okay.
Very powerful. I cannot change that wording around pleasing my ears. Oh, God, don't curse me. I want to bless Abraham. Blessed be Abraham. Blessed be the God of Abraham. And I don't want a curse from God. Now, these people who went and did, we'll talk about this particular thing here, because they did something. Not all of the people did it. Pay careful attention to what is written. Be careful and pay attention to what is written. Don't put into your mind Sesame DeMille. Don't. I'm serious. The movie, Ten Commandments. Was a very famous actor, you know. Most famous actor on the face of the earth at that time. Anyway, forget about that. Now, this is what Aaron said. Tell you what, give me all your gold. Okay. And then all of a sudden something happened. What happened? Well, it didn't happen to them. It happened to whom? And what did he, and he fastened it with an engraving tool. Ooh, who did the fastening with the engraving tool and made a molten calf? The question was asked, why a calf? And they said, then they said, oh, who are the they? Every woman, man, child, all of Israel. Always the leadership. The leadership always came and talked to Moses. The leadership always came and talked to Aaron. There were leaders of every tribe. There were leaders of every family. Not every Tom, Dick, and Harry, Pete, and Joe, and Jan went. Just the leadership. But not all the leadership. Be careful, because see, if all of the leadership did it, even the Levite leadership would be dead. But Levite leadership didn't. So it's, and only how many? Not, well, they had six, the question was 600,000, right? Were 600,000 killed that day? Only 3,000. Interesting number. So we have this picture that not all of Israel. We'll get to a very specific word that been translated wrong in your English translation. And it doesn't mean that in Hebrew. We'll get to that in a minute. So pay attention to what is written. Now you have to go back to Hebrew. You're going to have to go back and find out what is that root word. What is that root verb state about? Because Hebrew is based upon a verb language, right? Not a noun language. So let's go on farther. Whew, I'm breathing fast. I'm trying to hurry up and get this over with. I don't have much time, but I'm on page 2 here of this chapter. Okay. Now they said, this is our Elohim. You hate to use that word, because you don't use the word plurality, gods. It's not written gods in Hebrew. It's written Elohim. This very same name that said in chapter 1, Elohim. Plurality. Now, we went to that definition before. We don't have to go through it again today. So what were they making? They're making it, verse 4. They're making an Elohim. Really? O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now, I know it says over there in the prophets, and this guy did that, and that guy did this, and finally one of the kings went and destroyed both of these calves. I understand that, but that's not the issue. The issue is what happened then. Not what happened hundreds and hundreds of years later, but what happened then. So why a calf? Remember, it's very important to know Moses had to go up to the mountain and probably, with all due respect, the sixth day of the third month. Now, whether the sixth day is on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I don't care. But he's up there for 40 days. In that particular month, there's 24 days in the third month, 24 days left in the third month, if there were 30 days in that month. It's only 23. There's Only 29. Does it matter? Of course not. Insignificant. Who cares? Well, wait a minute. Why is 40 such an important date? Or time, I should say. And so we go into this 40th day, and now we find that Aaron did something. And this altar, he built an altar before Elohim, the image of Elohim, the calf. Why a calf? What is Hebrew here? The what?
The Aleph.
A bull. A bull. Why a bull? The very first name of God is Elohim. El, the bull and the lamed, bull with strength, bull with leadership, bull with direction. Do you understand that? They weren't talking about something that came out of Egypt. They're talking about how they saw God being like a bull and leadership. But they have, like every human being, we hate to do this to ourselves, because we don't admit it to ourselves. We have to see an image or something that resembles us of God. Well, you know, God gave them a symbol for them to look at. His dwelling place. But that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. This is where I live. And inside this wonderful place called the Holy of Holies, I'm sitting on a seat. And I'm telling you what this is all about. The sitting on the seat is the seat of atonement. And this ark, where my seat is sitting on top of it, are the Ten Commandments, known as the testimony, witness against you. I'm sitting on them. I'm sitting on them. And you're coming to me, and what am I going to give you? I'm going to give you atonement. I'm in what they call the mercy seat. It has the same phrase as an atonement. As we go along here, toward the end of this chapter, Moses says something very, very fascinating. Very, very fascinating. So we know that this calf was built either on the 17th or 18th, the 16th or 17th day of the fourth month. Because that's 40 days later. That's kind of critical. We say, what's that? What does that have to do with anything in life? Nothing. Well, let's talk about that for a moment. When God uses the term 40, quote, is a 40 of what? Of what is it? What? Why 40? Of what?
When Jesus went up,
that's 40 days. All right. Well, we'll talk about that too. What does 40 represent?
Testing, trial.
The test. 40 days of a test. How many days did it rain for Noah? 40 days and 40 nights. Why 40? Why couldn't it be 140? Why couldn't it be 38? Why couldn't it be perfect number like 7? Or maybe 70? You know, why 40? I'm sorry, what?
Numbers matter to God.
Numbers matter to God. And this one, bring this thing out in this chapter. Numbers matter to God. Moses came down from that mountain on the 40th day. And on the 40th day, he destroyed the calf. Interesting. Did you ever see that before? Now we know that Moses is going to go into another pattern of 40 days. We'll talk about that next week. A little bit about next week. God willing. Okay. Anyway, so, and it says, and they rose up, verse 6, the next day, and offered a whole offering, and brought a peace offering. Now, it's interesting here. By the way, the word says to play in some of your translations. That's Isaac's name. Laughter. Now, yes, there's one place in all the Bible that says he was sporting with his wife. All the other times, it had to do with joy, happiness, and laughter. Now, you remember what's his name? Who was he? Joshua? Yeah. Said, oh, there must be a war down there. What did Moses say to him?
He said,
No, they're singing out there. They're rejoicing. They're having fun. What are they doing down there? Because God told him, they're doing evil. Actually says they're doing bad, technically. We'll talk about that in a minute. And so at verse 7, it says, Yahweh said unto Moses, get down. For people that brought you out, for the people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt are corrupt. That is, they are going to ruin. They're decaying themselves. They're corrupting themselves. And so Moses, of course, went down. Here is the interesting thing. Jeff wrote it. And it's next, the very next verse, verse 8. They have, God speaking now, turned aside quickly out of the way. Interesting word, right? Well, in Hebrew, it means, another terminology, means they have turned out of the course of life that I once showed them to go. They're turning away. Remember the book of Acts? Not the same exact Hebrew word or Greek word, but it says, the way. This is the way. Remember Yahshua said, I am the way, I am the life, I am the resurrection. I'm it. So turning away from what? The course of life. The direction to live. They went in another direction. If I get out of here today. And of course, Moses asked God to, no. Oh, it says stiff-necked. You know what stiff-necked means?
Stubborn.
Stubborn, okay, that's a good one. Self-willed, right? In Hebrew, it does mean self-willed.
And rebellious.
Okay. Now, we have an old statement. Most of you know that. A man convinced will is of the same opinion still. Nothing changes. I don't care if it's right or wrong. I'm going to do it anyway. Have you ever said that? No. Don't converse that. don't say that. But just, have you ever said, I don't care if it's right or wrong, I'll do it anyway? I don't know if there's good or bad, I could do it anyway? Well.
My children.
Yeah, but that's what we are, you know. And I kind of word it a little bit different. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. And what you see here is these people, they had a will that was different than the will of God. Different than the man above, or the God and creator of heaven. And they decided to do it anyway. Because they were disappointed with Moses. And of course, you know that he came on and he says, about your fierce anger, and he reminded him of Isaac and Abraham and of Jacob. It almost looked like God forgot about it, right? What do you think about that? He relented. He turned from what he's going to do. Is that unusual for God to do that? No, he says many times. If you repent, I will then therefore stop, not do what I'm going to do to you. He said that to kings of Israel. Judah, remember Hezekiah? Going to kill him. Oh, please, okay, for you, I won't. I'll turn what I'm going against you on, and I won't. What about David? Wow. Yeah, and it strikes a proud man down to the lowest state he should be in. All right. Oh, I'm sorry.
Is this not a daily occurrence among us?
Well, blessed be God that he doesn't do this. We are responding to him, just that sometimes we don't realize that we have not responded.
Constantly.
Right. But
like, you know,
we're well, yeah. Well, he said, no, neither left nor right.
But
Yahshua said something very clear, right? He says, this way is very difficult and very hard. It's not a piece of chocolate cake. I'm sorry. Did you make chocolate cake?
I have to tell you, Heavenly Father really got on me because I was smelling smoke, and my mind started going, and the Lord said, it's not optional. I said, okay, I don't want him disciplining me, so I'm like, okay. I know it's not optional. Okay, I get it.
Anyway, let's continue on. The other question was, why did he take... Now, the gold couldn't be pure gold. It had to mix with something for it to make it solid. We know that. Gold itself, you can't do much with it. But hath to make it... Well, you have gold ring on or something like that. That's gold mixed with something else in order for it to be firm. Right? Remember, gold has to go through the fire how many times? Seven times. How often does silver have to go through the gold? Seven times. All the silver is mine. All the gold is mine. It doesn't mean the furnace gets hotter. It just means it goes back into the furnace to burn up more stuff. All right? So every one of you, whether you are gold or whether you are silver, expect to be happening seven times. Maybe it already has happened to some of you already. You know it. I'm just being funny. All right. And then Moses asked something to Aaron. What did this people do to make you do this, Aaron? Good question, right? What kind? Oh, let's get back to the other question. The reason why he had to chop that gold up and make it real fine is so they drink something. What were they supposed to drink?
Dirty gold.
What?
Dirty gold.
That's a good way to put it, I guess. To consume, yes, Daniel.
A mixture of water of their affliction. A water of their affliction.
I don't think it tasted very good. Anyway. To destroy the idol. How many times, I'm being a parallel now, just a parallel. It's not true, just a parallel. All right, understand what I'm saying. How many times have you had to consume bitterly the worships of this world? It's Christmas, it's Easter, it's holidays, and it was hard. And guess what you had to do? You had to do it. No one else took the place. You had to destroy that in you. And was it easy? No, it was not easy at all. Most of you had a hard time. Speak again.
It was not easy, but it was a blessing.
Well, in a way, that turned in from a quote, a curse into a blessing. It did. Golden, yes.
If we lived in a vacuum, it would not have been so hard. It's our family members. It's the heartbreak and difficulty of other people's reactions that made it so bitter.
We're going, yeah, you had a question?
You know, with the feasts of the Lord, how could it be hard to give up three of the other things? I mean, like, we get to party every other month practically, so why it's not it's like you give up a little thing and you get a great big thing. That's what I feel about it.
Well, that's true, but remember, these people during the time of Moses, before they went to the promised land 40 years later, didn't have the holy days. They said, when you get into the land, this is what you'll be doing on this day, and this day, and this day, and this day. All right? We say, oh no, they kept them all. No. It was when you enter the promised land, when you take that harvest and you harvest your wheat. You think there's wheat out there in the desert? You think they went out there and they found some wheat? No. It had to be barley one time, it had to be wheat the next time. It couldn't be anything they wanted. God told them specifically what to do. You don't grab anything you like and say, oh, this is a good substitute. Will God accept a substitute? I'm sorry, God's sometimes downright tough. And then Aaron said, verse 22, man, Daniel, I'm doing my very best. Do not let the anger of my Lord become hot against, of course, himself. You know that the people here, that they are set on, and actually Greek word, Hebrew word is bad. You don't believe me? Remember, there's two words, one's for bad and one's for wicked. Now, in the Garden of Eden, what was it called? In Hebrew. The tree of the knowledge of good and bad. Do you know how to do bad things? Well, yeah, of course. Now, in Psalms, it talks about the other one. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or ungodly. Now, that word is one of deliberately doing something contrary. All of us transgress. All of us fall short of the glory. All of us fall short and do not do what God wants us to. Is that evil? Well, that's just a bad decision. And what are we supposed to do about it? Change it as fast as we can. That's how you grow in grace. You know what that word means, don't you? And knowledge. You grow in favor with God. And when you grow with favor in God, God's going to give you more knowledge about Him. Right? All right? Especially about His Son. So far, so good. Oh, if I've answered almost everybody's question. I know you laughed. Just out came this calf. It wasn't a calf that came out. It was an image that these people pictured what God is like. Okay, how many of you have, don't answer it, have images of either the Son of God or God Himself in your house? He must look like this, He must look like that, He must look like this, He must look like that. I mean, we'll be in default to that because we had to see things with our eyeballs. And I tell men, you must learn to see the Word. Wait a minute, I can't see the Word. It doesn't tell me anything. No, see the Word. Don't just hear it, see it. What is it showing you? You remember the 19th chapter of the book of Psalms? Actually, God said the very same thing to Abraham. But He says, those stars you have out there, they're talking to you. What are they saying? They don't talk with words, but they're talking to you. What are you seeing? What are the stars showing you? What's the stars telling you? What does creation tell you? Does the turtle come up and tell you, by the way, God created me? You see the turtle. Or you may see a lion. You may see an animal. You may see your friend. You may see something. Okay, what is it? When you see something, what do you hear? Well, if nothing comes out, you ignore it, right? Or if it doesn't seem too pleasant to look at, well, we'll close our eyes to it. But creation is there for us to see. If we hear it, we should see it. All right? Plain as day. You understand this. Anyway, verse 25, and Moses saw the people were, oh, this is the very important verse. 25th verse. 25th verse. I'm going to read it as it says. Now, and Moses saw that the people were unrestrained. They restrained themselves to their shame among their enemies. What on earth does that mean? Enemies? Was there enemy there? Was a quote, enemy that fought them earlier? Were they there too? Were there enemies there in the camp? Were there enemies there to do harm to them? Ah, see, that's the mistake. Because this is not what the Hebrew word says. Okay, it says the word, for Aaron had not restrained them to their shame. That means to the whispering. That word is not shame, that word to the whispering among those who rise up and stand against them. There were people of Israel that did not go along with what these 3,000 people did. And these 3,000 people were murmuring, whispering amongst themselves. And look what they're doing. They wanted to stand up and say, stop. But why didn't they stop? Why didn't they stop? Has to do with Aaron. Has to do with Aaron. Were they going to go against Aaron? Why would they not go against Aaron? Why didn't they retaliate? Why didn't the Levites, which later on in this chapter, why didn't they go for Aaron and say, knock it off?
I know why. Because Aaron and his sister went against Moses, and then Heavenly Father had to.
Much later in
them.
The book of Numbers. You got it.
We need to hear you.
I'm going deaf and I have to hear better.
Was it because Aaron and Moses were anointed by God and appointed by God? Is that why they didn't want to do it?
Yeah, yes, that's the reason. All right. Because there was no other rod that did any damage except the rod of Aaron. Oh, this is the one who's got power. How do you go get someone to pick up that rod and do something to you? Terrified and frightened. So he was respected. But what kind of man was Aaron? Was he a coward?
He was a people pleaser.
A people pleaser, okay. Why would God call forth a spokesman that was a people pleaser?
Because Moses didn't want to speak.
He wasn't a people pleaser. That's an easy way to look at it. But what kind of a man was he like? Why didn't God pick Aaron instead of Moses?
Because Moses wouldn't have built a calf.
I'm sorry, what?
Moses had the gift of meekness, but Aaron was not as meek as Moses.
Okay. Did any time that we've read this so far, has Aaron ever spoke evil at this point in time? Be careful what you're thinking about Moses. You remember, God said to Moses, I'm bringing Aaron to you. He's going to speak for you. Yes, I can fix your mouth. I can fix your ears. I can fix your eyeballs. I can fix everything about you. Oh, I'm going to pick that man. Why would God pick Aaron for? Just because he was, you know, brother? He had an assignment to fulfill. Now, when you take a look at a spokesman for somebody else, let's just take a look at our president of the United States. Now, don't be angry. Don't be upset. Don't hate him. Just stop and suck. Look at whatever president it was. Eisenhower, Johnson, Frank, Peter, whoever it was. There is someone who speaks for him. As called, they do it on the, in the what's that place where the people talk? The what? No, they talk to the public and the speakers. A bunch of people ask a bunch of questions. The what? Tell me, no, what?
Press conference.
The what?
Press conference.
Press conference, okay. See, I'm lacking on thought here. But so that's what they would do, yes. Go ahead.
Two quick things. First of all, as far as why Moses was not chosen to speak, could it have anything to do with him doubting, first of all? I'm a man that can't speak because of the stutter or whatever. Okay. I mean, could that have been a point right there for him to automatically choose Aaron?
No. My opinion, no.
Your opinion, okay. That's fine. And backing up on, you're talking about why would they...
Okay. Let's go up to the time of Yeshua HaMashiach, right? When he sent his 120 people out, how many all went out the same place?
Two by two.
Moses and Aaron, two. God doesn't need 70. God doesn't need 2,000. He doesn't need 365,000. All he has to have is two. Now we have the Messiah, the Son of God and God himself. Two. It's a picture of the true witness of God, God himself and his son. You understand what I'm saying? This was not by quote, oh, he couldn't speak with, was both, Moses is a man cropping out? Of course they do. Did any of you ever copped out? Didn't want to do a job? Of course none of you. Always just on me, took the job, right? If sometimes you don't want to do it, and you do it. Then after you've done it, it says, okay, wasn't that bad after all, was it? And sometimes it's bad, it was downright bad. Well, look at the prophets. Same thing with them. Yes?
First one, the first one was, what was the feast of the Lord? And the second one was, what did he do with that first set of tablets that he broke? So you've skipped way up, but you haven't answered those two questions that were.
Yes, go ahead.
I can answer the first one for you really quick. On that issue where it says, right after Moses builds that calf, and then it says that the people say, Aaron says, we're going to have a feast to the Lord. That word is not moed.
No.
It's hug, like we talk about hug semeah.
Party.
It's basically party. That's all it meant. Party.
Now remember what Moses said. Oh, they're singing down there. I asked you a question. How many of you people sing in joy? How many of you dance in joy? How many of you just enjoy yourself and the moment's exciting? It's really a big, exciting thing. Yes. That's what Moses heard. And God heard it also. Not according to his will. Yes.
And Jeroboam did the same thing. Created the feast, a calf, and said, no, this is your God. I mean, this is the first time that we had it again in the book of Kings.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a picture there as well.
Remember, that's the house of Israel. We'll talk about that when we'll talk about that when the time comes. Anyway, the thing I want to end here real quick. Oh, man, Daniel, I'm sorry. The what? Destroyed.
But
okay, let's talk about it for half a second. How big were they?
I don't know.
Get down to the postage stamp, right? Where were they supposed to be put? They're put in the ark. How big was the ark?
I don't know.
27 inches long. And I think 3 feet wide. Three and a quarter feet wide. Now, so the tablet had to be probably maybe 3 by 2. The height was that. And they're written on both sides. It wasn't a word. It was the words.
10 words.
And both sides. Now, I don't know which tablet held what part of the 5 and the other held the other part of the 5. It doesn't matter because I don't know. We can have it. Now, remember, they couldn't stand upright, so they had to lay on the side. But what were the tablets called? What were they called?
The witness.
The witness.
They have found octagon stones now, archaeological dig called Digging the Truth. They have found those cylinders that are octagon in shape that have like, it's like a...
Yeah, we don't know if they were square, rectangular. We don't know. All we know, they had to be at least probably 3 feet. Oh, not less, I mean, not 27 inches, not just less than that. Two feet, and maybe, I can't remember how it was. Anyway, you understand what I'm saying. They weren't monstrosity, they couldn't carry them down, but they weren't extra 15 inches thick either. They were light enough for him to carry up and down. And he had, remember, later on, we'll get to there, he had to cut out another stone, then he'd take them up there, for God to write on. Okay. So, where am I at now? Got to close up. Verse 30. What does it say?
He's going to make an atonement for their sins.
Uh-huh. Make a covering for Yom Kippurim. Make a covering for them. But Moses understood what the mercy seat was all about. He was told what it meant. And so now he knew there had to be a covering that will cover up the testimonies against the people. Do you understand that? Now, later on in the next chapter, we're going to learn a whole lot more about Moses than perhaps you never realized how much we know about him. And he says something very plain, 31. Then Moses turned and said, "Oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves an Elohim of gold." Now he says, "And yet, if you will forgive their sins, but if not, I will pay the price." Is that what he said? "I will pay the price for these people." Well, that's a big, big thing, but isn't it? He's willing to be the covering, the atonement, the blood sacrifice for sins, transgressions, and iniquities. That's a big challenge, isn't it? Now we're going to find out more about God and Moses in the next chapter. Any questions? Once again, it's the image of the word Aleph and Lamed. The name of God begins with an Aleph and a Lamed. Aleph is a head of a calf. In pictogram, we have this thing that looks like an actual old Hebrew. It's a picture of a head of a calf, a male calf. And the Lamed, the letter L, is a picture of a cane. So it's someone that means for leadership. The calf is going to lead. That's the symbol of the Lamed of El that God was called. El, Elohe also. It's those two letters that's very, very important. And that's the image of a calf. All right? Now it says that's the one that led you out, or brought us out of Egypt, that led them out. That's where the word El comes from. It means a high place also. It means someone with power and might and strength. Yes.
About the plague, do we have any idea what that was?
About the plague. No, it doesn't mention it.
With the plague because they
looked for it and I couldn't find it at all. But I think it's going to be mentioned perhaps in the next chapter. But it's a plague. But there's something in the next chapter that God commands the people to do. And they did what he did, and from that point on, they always did it.